Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, and 12, text 39 is the last one of this chapter. And also because today is the appearance day of Luchandas Thakur, we'll read the shloka and the purport. Maybe just a little bit on this, and we also sing one bhajan from Luchandas Thakur, which was a favorite bhajan of Srila Prabhupada. So in this way we can honor this great acharya in our line. So we start with this one first. It's translation. The simple and delicate woman truly thought that Lord Sri Krishna, their beloved husband, followed them and was dominated by them. They were unaware of the extent of the glories of their husband, and the atheists unaware of him as a supreme controller. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. It's quite a long purport. We'll go slowly, okay? Even the transcendental wife of Lord Sri Krishna did not know completely the unfathomable glories of the Lord. This ignorance is not mundane, because it is some action of the internal potency of the Lord in the exchange of the feeling between him and his eternal associate. The Lord exchanges transcendental relations in five ways as proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover. And each of these pastimes he plays fully by the potency of Yoga Maya. The internal potency, he plays exactly like an equal friend with his coward boys, or even with friend like Arjuna. He plays exactly like a son in the presence of Yashoda Mata. He plays exactly like a lover in the presence of the coward damsels. And he plays exactly like a husband in the presence of the queen of Dwarka. Such devotee of the Lord never think of the Lord as the supreme, but think of him exactly as a common friend, a pet son or a lover or husband, very much dear to heart and soul. That is a relation between the Lord and his transcendental devotees who act as his associate in the spiritual sky, where they are innumerable Vaikuntha planet. When the Lord descends, he does so along with his entourage to display a complete picture of the transcendental world where pure love and devotion for the Lord prevail without any mundane tinge of lording it over the creation of the Lord. Such the devotee of the Lord are all liberated souls, perfect representation of the marginal or its internal potency in complete negation of the influence of the external potency. The wife of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, was made to forget the immeasurable glories of the Lord by the internal potency so that they might not be the flow of exchange. And they took it for granted that the Lord was a henpecked husband, always following them in lonely places. In other words, even the personal associate of the Lord do not know him perfectly well. So what do the thesis writers or mental speculators about the transcendent glories of the Lord? The mental speculators present different theses as to his becoming the causes of the creation, the ingredient of the creation, or the material and the efficient cause of the creation, etc. But all of this is but a partial knowledge about the Lord. Factually, they are ignorant as the common man. The Lord cannot be known by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord can be known by the mercy of the Lord only, and by no other means. But since the dealing of the Lord with his wife are based on pure transcendent love and devotion, the wife are all on the transcendental plane without material contamination. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Krishna Entrance into Dwarka. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Gurave Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Tanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vindam, Vancha Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Vanjaka Patirubhyascha, Kipasindubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavi, Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Before I start, I feel very nervous to talk about Prabhu who's here. Usually he's never present. I was thinking he should be here, not me. But I was given this service, so I feel I will try my best to serve Bhagavatam and serve the Vaishnava to the best of my ability. If there's some flaw, something, please forgive me. And today is a very special day, and for me, the life of the Acharya is one of the most important part of my life, which gives me lots of inspiration. And so we'll speak a little bit on this. It's a shame that we cannot speak long about this, because Prabhupada gave an amazing purport on this topic. As we can see, in this chapter, there's 39 shloka. And I was looking around doing some research, and I tried to see what the Prabhupada said about this, when he gave class, what was his, of course, apart from his purport. But then I find something very interesting, that in this, the whole chapter, there's only one verse Srila Prabhupada mentioned 5 times. Anybody knows which one? 5 times in his lectures, in his conversation, in his morning walk, Prabhupada mentioned this verse 38, the whole chapter of 11th chapter. There's only one verse Prabhupada mentioned 5 times, you know. And I thought that was very interesting. And then I was looking a little back and trying to understand, you know, this one, this purport as well. But as we're coming at the end of this chapter, Krishna entering Dwarka, there's so many different things happen, how Krishna left Hastinapur, he was on his way to Dwarka, and he arrived, arriving in Dwarka, entering Dwarka, how the citizen was in bliss, you know, like we ourselves when we have the appearance of Lord Krishna, how for weeks and months and for years we're preparing for this great event. So in the same way, the Dwarkapuri, they were the one, you know, making sure the whole city of Dwarka. And then, you go a little bit forward, how, you know, the elders, the closest family, they come and meet Krishna. And then you go along, you know, the ladies on the top of the roof, they're welcoming Krishna, showing the tradition and the culture there. And then Krishna was, you know, he also teaches so many things in this, the whole chapter, how he was received by his elders, how he respect his elders, and also how even the common people in Dwarka, how the Lord will glance over them, will give them, you know, his take on it, how he was acknowledging their presence. So in the whole chapter, I found it was very, very, we learned so much. When I look at the chapter, when I look about what the message that Krishna is giving us, and he's giving us so much how, you know, I'm a heart person. I always try to translate it. How will Krishna want us to also receive him, you know, for when his appearance, Gopanim, any appearance of the Lord. I remember, I'm going to share something by when we were together, when I was in Mauritius, we were start of Krishna consciousness. We didn't have much. But one thing, even though we didn't have many things, the temple would never be bare on a festival. We will have mango leaves, you know, tied together, one little flower in the whole, you know, just to make sure that the temple is nicely decorated for the Lord. Even you have nothing, Krishna has provided in his creation to welcome him. But of course, the deed of Dwarka was very opulent. And then there's many things happen, how you start offering prayers to the Lord, how the Lord, you know, he went and visited his parents and his close one. Then he entered the palaces. He has 16,108 wife queens, and each of them has their own palaces. And the Lord was present with all the queen at one time. And this is quite amazing. Even Prabhupada explained here, in this purport here, that the wife of Lord Krishna, Jiji saw Krishna as a simple husband. But why? Because Yogamaya has a big role to play in this. Because the reason Yogamaya, even in the past time of Vrindavan, it was not awe and reverence. It was simple. Krishna want to relish the relationship as a son, as a lover, as a mother, as a friend. And Yogamaya is the one who is facilitating Krishna's pastime. So Krishna can, you know, get himself into all these different relationships. So then he's not blocked by the own reverence. There's a few pastime I was thinking that is quite connected, how Yogamaya covered, you know, the devotee when they find out that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Does anybody can think of one pastime or two? There's one when the devotee, the Krishna's friend in Balaram, told Mother Yashoda that Krishna was eating dirts. So then Mother Yashoda chastised Krishna and asked Krishna to open his mouth. So when Krishna opened his mouth, and Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe, he saw the whole creation, and she was so bewildered that she would say, "Oh my God, this is my son, he's the Supreme Lord." So the exchange of mother and son would have been completely disturbed if Yogamaya didn't come and, you know, pacified Mother Yashoda in that relationship with Krishna. So there's another part of soul. When, of course, when Arjuna wanted to see the Yogamaya, the universal form of Krishna, he was very fearful. He was very, you know, difficult even Arjuna to take when Krishna showed his universal form. But at one time, Arjuna started lamenting, "Oh, I think of you as my friend who was sitting down and eating. I didn't understand your supreme person. I didn't. Please forgive me. I make so many mistakes." And still, then that relationship as well would have been compromised if Yogamaya didn't come and, you know, do her service, because she's the one who is facilitating Krishna's pastime. So Krishna can dive into all this rasa. And this, that's what Prabhupada mentioned here, that there will be no flaw in the pastime of the Lord. So there's one shloka in Bhagavad Gita. If you, by your permission, I'd like to read. It's chapter 10, The Opulence of the Lord. And it's text 17. Katam vidyam aham yogim tuam sada parichintayam keshu keshu cha bhavishu chintus si bhagavan maya. The translation: O Krishna, Arjuna speaking, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you, and how shall I know you? In what various form you ought to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? The purport is very small writing. I'm trying to focus here. As is stated in the previous chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is covered by his Yogamaya. Only surrendered soul and devotees can see him. Now Arjuna is convinced that his friend Krishna is a Supreme Godhead, but he wants to know the general process by which all pervading Lord can be understood by the common man. Common man, including the demons and atheists, cannot know Krishna because he's guarded by his Yogamaya. energy. Again, this question asked by Arjuna for their benefit. The superior devotees concern out not only for his own understanding, but for the understanding for all mankind. So here, you can see in this purport, I won't read the whole thing, that Yogamaya also is protecting Krishna. The demons and all the atheists, they have no chance of knowing Krishna. It's only by pure devotional service, it's only by the mercy of a pure devotee as well, that one enable us to get a glimpse, not even a glimpse of Krishna's mercy. So here, you can see Prabhupada explaining this purport, that the eternal potency had a very, very, you know, major part to play, so Krishna can relish all these rasas. And as the son and mother Yashoda, there's so much pastime, so many pastime, as the friend, Krishna's friend for Arjuna, as the husband of the queen of Dwarka. So it's already 8:05, so I think I'm going to stop here, because for me, the great Acharya has, like I said, is very important in our life. He gave us great solace and give us a direction for we can pray and, you know, and purify our own existence. So we have this, bhajan, Paramakaruna, Pamudvijana. So if we like to sing this, and then I would like to say this bhajan, when it's very dear to Srila Prabhupada, that's why I want to sing this one as well. When Srila Prabhupada, he visited Atlanta Temple, many on his journey, on his way to visiting different places. So Srila Prabhupada stopped at Atlanta Temple, and he did something completely different in the morning. Usually his Bhagavatam class, Jayarada Madhava. But this time he looked at this beautiful form of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And the devotee took very good care of the Lord. So Prabhupada was very emotional and very touched. He did something and he started singing this beautiful bhajan, Paramakaruna Pahundvijana. And Srila Prabhupada gave a very, very, very beautiful purport on this. We can sing this together. It would be nice. Sorry, I'm super nervous, okay? I'll sing, then you find out. I'm not sure. Okay. Parama karuna pahudui jana nitai gora chandra. Parama karuna pahudui jana nitai gora chandra. Parama karuna Pahudvi jana nitai gora chandra. Pahudvi jana nitai gora chandra. Sambhavatara sarasiro mani kevala ananda kanda. Did I start it wrong? Is it okay? Bajo bajo bai Chaitanya nitai Shudida vishwasa kori. Bajo bajo bai Tyanyanita Shriya Vishwas Kori. Vishaya Charira Sirase Majiya Buke Bolo Hari Hari. Muke bolo hari hari. Deko de bai Tribhavane nai Emanadola yadata Deko de bai Tribhavane nai Emanadola yadata Pashupal ki jure Pasana vidare sunijara gunagata. Samsari majiya rohili poriya sepadi nahilo. Asha samsara madhya rohili poriya se pade nahi asha apana karma gunjai samana kaho ilo chana dasa Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra. Savavatara sarasi romani Kevala Ananda Kanda Sarasiro Mani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Okay, this is a song by Lochanda Sako, and Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice purport on this. Maybe in your own time, maybe you can read this beautiful purport that Srila Prabhupada gave. That was after he sang that song. And but I would like to thank you, Prabhu. Sorry, did I start it wrong? Actually, I was listening to Prabhupada singing this bhajan. He sang a different tune. I remember that tune when I came out. It came and then that's... Prabhupada sang it very, very deep. It's very beautiful. But somehow, though, you know, Hare Krishna. okay, Lochan Das was a disciple of who? Anybody knows? Anybody? Of course, I did my homework, I know. So, Narahari Sarkar. Yeah, he was a disciple of Narahari Sarkar. And also he wrote these three devotees, three great Vaishnava and Tamba Mahaprabhu. One with Chaitanya Charitamrita, one wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Lochanda Sakur, he wrote Chaitanya Mangal. And actually in Chaitanya Mangal, there's some pastime that let's go back. Lochanda Sakur got all his information from Murari Gupta. He wrote it in a very poetry form, which is very simple for people in general to understand that. And it is said that in his Chaitanya Mangal, Lochanda Sakur, he has this unique conversation that you don't have in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat. Prabhu's shaking his hand. You know which one it is. It's about the night before Lord Chaitanya was about to take sannyas, and there was a very intimate talk between Vishnu Priya and Lord Chaitanya. And this is a beautiful pastime. How Lakshmi Vishnu Priya was quite. You know, she asked Lord Chaitanya, I heard rumors around that you're going to take sannyas. And Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is the time for me to go. But Lakshmi Priya, she poured her heart to Lord Chaitanya. But at the end, she accepted Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, to take sannyas, and she gave her permission for Mahaprabhu to take sannyas. This is only Chaitanya Mangal, you can find this information. And also, just talk about his appearance. He was born in 1520, and he was the only son for his mother and father. And he was in his maternal family who took care of him. But he raised by his maternal grandfather, was educated there as well. He was a little boy, but he was very fortunate that he met all the devotees at that time. He was married at a very young age, very supremely young age. But then he was spending most of his time at Narahari Sarkar ashram. So one day, they all asked him that he has to come back home. So on his way, he was coming back to his place. Then he saw one, he can't remember exact where he lived. So he saw one lady and he called her mother, can you tell me where is this place? So she showed him. And then when he went home, he realized this is the same lady that she called mother, was his wife. So he understand that he cannot live with her as a wife because he already called her mother. So then he went back to his guru's ashram and lived there for quite a long time. But he spent most of his time writing, composing Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprabhu pastime. It is said, Murari Gupta, who lived in Nadia, composed many Sanskrit verses about the life of Gauranga, which is later arranged in the form of book. Having heard these verses from Murari Gupta, and Damodar taught this them to me, I memorized them with great delight. And as Sanskrit verses and conception of Mahaprabhu imparted through the Damodar Pandit, then what he did, Luchandas Thakur, he put it in a very simple Bengali language called the Panchali in different verses for the common people to understand the glories of the Lord. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Jagunita Ki Jai. So, and also he appeared 34 years after the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote many bhajan about the life and concept of Mahaprabhu. There's another one Prabhupada loved very much, and he gave a very beautiful purport on it, Nitai Gunamani. It's a very nice one. And Prabhupada gave a very long purport about how wonderful Lord Nityananda qualities are. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. And Prabhupada gave a really nice purport. And, you know, for us, you know, to celebrate the appearance of this great Vaishnava, to give them respect, to talk about, you know, to share their contribution in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is very unique. And on days like this, if you remember them, we offer prayers to them, we get lots of blessing. And they should not be forgotten. Every acharya, every personality that has interact with our Vaishnava Gaudiya Vaishnava in our Sampradaya, on that day at least we should remember them. And the reason I sing this bhajan, because it was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. How can we please Srila Prabhupada by, you know, following his footsteps and, you know, glorifying this great Vaishnava as Lord Chandas? He wrote many songs. If you go in the, like, many songs, and you, in the Krishna, in the song book, you'll see Lord Chandas as well, Narottam Das Thakur, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are many, many beautiful bhajan. This is the ecstasy and how they're feeling, how they, you know, if you read, they feel like nothing, but they have everything. You know, this is the humility of the great Vaishnava. They don't come and say, I'm somebody, you know, I know the prayers, I know Mahaprabhu. But they're always praying for mercy. And this is our mood as well. We are mercy cases, I am personally. So in this special day, we should remember, maybe in your spare time, your own time, read a little bit about these great personalities and offer your homage after you, you know, the gratitude. You know, Krishna consciousness is a place where we don't become puffed up. You know, every day that we practice Krishna consciousness, it humbles us, you know. We become humble every single day, trying to see how insignificant we are. We have practically no good qualities. I speak for myself. No good qualities, but by divine intervention of the Lord, by divine mercy, we are somehow there sitting at Bhaktivedanta Manor in front of the Lordship, in front of Srila Prabhupada, and there are some Vaishnavas and Sampradaya there. We are able to talk about Krishna. We are able to talk about this great Vaishnava. If we didn't come in contact, and I want to also before, it's only 8:20, I know Sita Prabhupada and his team, the whole month, you've been out there every single day through the cold, through the heat, through the rain, or whatever, the heat of distributing books, yes. But you've been there every single day to share this Krishna consciousness, to make people life, to make their life special, you know, to give them Krishna. I'm not able myself to stand and do Sankirtan, but I've been going to Soho Street personally, and I find when you walk on Oxford Street, you see it's so many people with no purpose in life. And you see them devoted in the middle of Soho Street, of Oxford Street, trying to stop these people in the, you know, in the material ignorance, going back and forth, trying to enjoy a little bit of this material world. When they get knocked over left, right, and center, that they can't grasp at this, you know, the saint of Soho Street, the saint of Bhaktivedanta Manor, they're there to give them a chance in this human form of life to purify this life, to make something of this life, not to, you know, flush it down the drain, you know, as we say. So I'm very humbled to see devotees who has put their precious time, each individual, one book, two book, you know, that you make a difference. And Srila Prabhupada will be so pleased to all the devotees who had dedicated their life to propagating Srila Prabhupada's mission. And I was wondering why this 7777? Is there a specific reason why we put the 777? I was just thinking maybe it's a reason for that. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I was like, okay. Yeah. No, that's very nice. I mean, I knew there's a reason behind it, but I couldn't find out. It was very good that it was, now. I don't know how many contact you got, how many books you distributed. It doesn't matter. The amount doesn't matter. It's the thought behind that you have to go out and save the fallen soul, you know. Otherwise, I think everybody that we're sitting here, I said that before, that we've all been touched by Srila Prabhupada literature, one way or another, you know, and to make other life. That's why it struck me in, I'm changing the subject a little bit, but it's all to do with devotees' relationship, how devotees, you know, see each other, how they want to give the mercy to others. Even in the pasana of Mahaprabhu, The devotees will always, you know, give the devotees special care. Like, if the devotee was chastised by Mahaprabhu, they will go and, you know, on their behalf, they will plead to Mahaprabhu, can you please forgive him? They're always pushing, like in the past of King Prataparudra, a devotee was making so many arrangements for him to have audience with the Lord. So this is the devotee's business, is to find ways always to help each other on our journey, not to be impersonal. Even in this dealing in Bhagavatam, you see how the Lord is personal with each of his wife, 16,108. Each of them, he's personally with them every single day. And his parents, he's teaching us as well, you know, how to be personal in our dealings, you know. And on a daily basis, we have to, I myself try to see what did I do today to improve my life, to improve my association, to improve my Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, I used to come here much more often. Now I cannot do that. But there's another way that I can do, like I go to Soho Street Mall and I'm serving a little bit there. But Krishna is always giving you opportunities to advance, to make progress in your Krishna consciousness. And then you have to grasp these opportunities, not to let it go. And on this note, I would like to stop. If anybody have something to add on this purport, on the life of Luchandas Thakur, usually I prepare very well, but when I come here, it's all gone.